I did my research preparing this, though I don't really know what it means. But there's two new technologies using lace, where either they have lace in the front of the shetel to make the front part of the shetel look more natural, or they could and or have lace in the middle to make the loins in a woman's hair look more natural. And to the extent that many people will testify, and most men are not really eligible to testify in these things, because we don't know what we're talking about, but many women, even women themselves who are buckies in hair, can't tell if a woman's wearing a lace shetel. That's how well the technology is. I see some young buckrim shaking their head no, that they know better. Maybe you shouldn't know better. So your mother told you, I know. But, yes, we've moved on from Indian hair shetels. We have a new problem. Lace. And depending in which community you live in, you know, there are different psukim out there about lace shetels. There are many that will say, Rav Moshe wrote a tshuva about the concept of shetels years ago, and the issues he discussed in that shetel, in that tshuva, fully apply to lace shetels too. And there's a heter, mitzad hadin, to those shetels. Many posts amongst them publicly, I believe Rabbi Reisman has taken that stance. I've heard of others that halakhically there's nothing wrong with them. But, you know, they'll still say maybe, you know, it looks too much. Maybe you shouldn't. There are those that are outright ossering them. There's a list of kolkore of Hasidic poskim who say not only are they osser, but you also cannot recite a bracha in front of a woman wearing such a shetel. Woman's hair is insufficiently covered. So you go the full gamut, which usually happens in the Jewish world, of how far you go. Is there a problem altogether? Or it's the biggest problem since, as someone brought up, the Avodah Zarah shetel heads. Yes. So, yeah, most of the time, what I've heard and seen is on which aspect he was asking about the shetels is the issue. Is it that it looks too natural? You could actually see the scalp. Most are talking just about the fact that it's too natural. There are some who've talked about maybe you could see the scalp, and I've heard others say that's not the scalp, it's a fake, it's a piece of plastic, and you're not really seeing it. So I'm not even sure the metzias. I'm not sure anyone fully, I'm sure people do have the metzias.
Isn't the complaint that it's too alluring?
Yeah, that's the most practical. Now, both of these storylines, the ice cream and Ben and Jerry's ice cream and the lace shetels, had led in the firm world to elements of boycotts. In Ben and Jerry's, it's very simple. You're going to boycott us, we're going to boycott you. Now, included in that, which the topic we'll discuss today, is, look, when you boycott ice cream, when you decide not to buy ice cream, there are ramifications involved, right? It could affect Jewish store owners that have the ice cream, that bought the ice cream, that invested in the ice cream. It could affect Jewish franchise in Israel that is owned by religious Jews and are suffering potentially by this. I remember in the beginning of the reaction towards it, people first, you know, were dumping all our Ben and Jerry's, and then the Israeli franchise came out. Hey, don't attack us. We're fighting the company too. But don't boycott Israeli Ben and Jerry's. Just boycott American Ben and Jerry's. It gets complicated. On the shadal side of it, which there actually emerged a whole organization called Erase the Lace. What I find fascinating is they even have a trademark on their organization. I guess they're afraid other people will, compete against them. But this is one organization that I know of fighting this issue about lace shetels, and I'm sure there are individuals in a private basis. I don't know what this organization did behind the scenes or not. They put in the full page ad in all the Jewish publications. The ad is pretty positive. You know, it thanks the it's interesting, all the women that are not wearing these shetels. It thanks to all the shetelmachers who decided not to sell these shetels regardless of financial repercussions, and all different things, mothers, husband, women, schools. But I'll tell you practically, again, I don't know if this organization did it, but I know practically how these things work is if you find an issue with Lei Shetels, so, okay, the first thing they'll do is they'll put up a kol kore, you know, get names and plaster it all over Meir Sharim and all over street corners in Jewish neighborhoods about how bad it is. But the next step is you go over to businesses that sell these and say, well, if you keep on selling these, we'll make sure that you don't sell any shetels. Boycotts, threats. Yeah. Now, you know, money talks. And, you know, the mafia knew this years ago, that the best way to threaten people, you know, breaking bones is one option. But the other option, which might hurt more, is in the pocketbook. And that's why there's a concept of boycotting. You know, in America today, it's super popular. Cancel culture will go against anything which the whatever modern philosophy is they're into. They'll cancel anyone who goes against it. And that is a very strong power. No one wants, you know, people have beliefs, but they don't necessarily will hold those beliefs against the fact, okay, but I need to, my family has to live, I have to pay the bills. You know, not too many athletes that could, take a $400,000 a day pay cut because they believe in not vaccinating. You know, people take positions, but most people, when a push comes to shove money monetarily, they have to back down. So boycotting is a very powerful tool. The shaila is, halachically, is that a tool that Torah Jews use? Should we be using, could we and should we be using the power of the pocket against things? Should we be boycotting Ben and Jerry's ice cream? Should we be boycotting stores that sell Lei Shetels? What is the Torah perspective, the halakhic perspective on these topics? That's what we'd like to touch on and get involved with today. So, the first aspect I think it's kedai to go through, I actually checked my notes. We gave a share on this a few years ago in Chet. In Teves Tavshin Ayin Ches, going back about 4 years. So there's important halachas. The Chafetz Chaim brings it down in Sefer Avos Chesed. Avos Chesed is not just a sefer that talks about chesed you could do, lending money to people. The Chafetz Chaim also talks about the halachas of business. And he writes, for those of you who have in the middle of the sheets, V'da'od, Tehu Adin Inin Mechira, not just in terms of lending money to another Jew, but also in terms of buying and selling. Gamkin and Tzrichu HaTorah, the Torah requires us, Kishiyilu Yisrael Dover Ma'al Mocher. When a Jewish person has something to sell, within his Dam Lefan of Yisrael the Kedani, and the Jewish person could sell it to either a Jew or a non-Jew, Yimka Yisrael. Jewish people should look, first and foremost, to do business with Jews. That's a nice idea. Right? On the business side of it, you could do business with a Jewish buyer or a non-Jewish buyer. You should give the Jewish community first dibs. You should always look to do business with another Jew. And so to the reverse. The chenu odin li'im tzarech liknos. By us, we're the consumers. The ksiv is simku mimkar l'misecha okonu mi'al l'misecha. The pasuk says, when you buy things or sell things from another Jew, and the Medrash adds, In basa limker timkel yisroel chavercha. If you're going to sell to a Jew, v'chein in bas liknos tiknem yisroel chavercha. Both ways. You should buy it from Jews and you should sell to Jews. Now, obviously the issues we're going to talk about is what about where there is a price difference? Yeah, I love giving Jewish people my money, but not all my money. Right? You know, I just had someone explain to me, you know, in New York right now, nice government program, and somehow they decide to pay for people's air conditionings. Right? It's the government / the energy companies, they decided if people get more energy efficient ACs, it'll be better for energy. Right. Basically Con Ed got in on this con. Well, I'll say in a second. So they're paying for money, they're paying for you to redo your whole house and put in AC units. Now what's the catch? Why are they doing it? So the real catch, I was told, is because these units, these split units, are able to do both heat and AC. So heating a house through electrical means versus the old-fashioned boiler uses tons of energy, which right now people aren't using because they have their old boilers. But once they put in these systems, so they expect the majority of people to just use it for heat too. They'll pump up the AC bills, and they're kind of making good money off it. That's what's going on. So I know someone was telling me, so, you know, this guy's a cheap guy. So he looked into the business, okay, I'm going to do this government program, but it's still going to cost me some money up front, the rebates and this. So who should I use? So he does his due diligence. He found, you know, some Chinese guy in Astoria doing it, and some from guy. And he checked it out, and he told me, I don't know anyone who does this. He asked the Chinese guy for references, and he called up the references. He actually went to the guy's house. I said, this guy did it, your AC for you? And the guy said, I bought the system, but he didn't really do the thing. Okay, forget it, he's lying. So he went with the Jew. The Jew had pretty competitive pricing to the non-Jew. But really, it shouldn't be a shayla. It's a very important halachos. Even where the pricing is close, and you could give the business to a Jew versus a non-Jew, it's not a shayla. You should give the business to the Jew. I'll save you a day of hawking prices with Chinese people. Give the business to a Jew. Especially here, you're playing with government money. The government's paying for your ACs, okay? There's no fees to begin with. And, you know, I heard the stories, right? We're paying, no. This is state taxes. We're not paying, you know. Huh? Yeah, New Yorkers are paying for their own. Yeah, it's a state program, probably. Yeah. So when it comes to a price, you know, the difference in price, like many things, it's relative. It's relative to your finances, to the situation, and the like. But the basic qualification is for a small difference, there's still the chiyuv to buy from the Jew. Where there's a bigger difference, there may not be a chiyuv to do it, but again, it's a form of tzedakah, it's a form of chesed. Helping out another Jew, buying from a Jewish business, is definitely something that we should try to do. You know, I was this week, the yeshiva is slowly starting their renovations of the Beis Medrash. So they're using a company in New York. So they needed to measure like the windows and the whole facade of the building. So it's one of those jobs, you have these guys, it's like the weirdest thing. They have these like cameras and they sit there for like hours taking measurements. Now, I don't know anything about how to do these things. My son could probably explain it to me. But the mamash have to like sit there. You sometimes see these guys on the street, they're measuring also things, they have these cameras and they sit there for hours. Okay, so I'm sure there are tons of people in South Florida that could do that. Happens to be the yeshiva's company they hired as a Jewish business. They flew in two Hasidish guys from Williamsburg, Muncie. These guys were sitting here in front of the building, like, taking videos. I'm sure some of the guys over here saw, right? It's a Jewish business, and they utilize more Jewish people than this, you know? And it could be it was even cheaper to hire them and fly them in than paying, you know, from the top Cuban guy who does business here. But Lemaisa, this halacha is an important halacha. When you have the ability, when you have the chance to do business, sometimes, look, the Jewish world is not offering the thing that you need. The only place to buy it is in the general world. Okay, fine. But nowadays, there's so many areas, there's so many businesses that are owned and run by Jews. And if you have the chance to patronize them, that's very important. You should do it. And so to the reverse, if you own a business and you have two accounts you could deal with, it's best to deal with Jews. And I know Jews are always going to hawk you on the price, and you know, it comes with things. But Lemaisa, there is a mitzvah involved, again, if possible, for sure, where there's a small difference. And, okay, it's tavel of bracha, even by a bigger difference. Yes?
I know one business that the owner said straight out he doesn't target the Jewish business as much as he wants to, because even if they're not hawking prices, the Jewish business tends to come with other streams afterwards.
Yeah, so, you know, Lemaisa, look, for every bad story out there within the Jewish community, I'm sure there are many, many other positive ones. And, you know, that we can't let the rotten apples spoil the halacha, you know, for everybody else. And look, you know, you should try to the best of ability to do business from Jews and do business to Jews. Because all in all, you know, that's what the pasuk's talking about. So the Raisa, Chafetz Chaim's talking over here. Now, there is one other aspect which is very interesting. What constitutes a Jew for this? And I actually had a discussion about this topic, got into boycotting and this, and I brought up this issue with discussing with different people. So he said, oh, you know, Ben and Jerry's, huh? No, not those type of Jews. These halachas don't apply. Not so simple. There's basically a major machlokas achronim. How far do these mitzvahs go doing business from a Jew, selling to Jews? Are they only Shomer Shabbos Jews or any Jews? So the Chassam Sofer, as well as Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, both held it only applies to Shomer Shabbos Jews. If a person, Shomer Shabbos, so then do business with them. A lot of times stores, I come from New York, it was very popular. You'd see on the stores, the store itself would advertise that they're Shomer Shabbos. Which is okay. You know, it is a chashuv thing.
Years ago, they had campaigns boycotting stores that were open on Shabbos.
You remember these?
I read about it in Jewish Observer years ago.
Okay. I have to be a little careful, full disclosure. My grandfather, who I'm named after, was actually very involved in Shemir Shabbos campaigns, you know, years ago. I only found out I was by Rabbi Shapiro's house one year in Purim. I knew my grandfather in general was involved with it. He had one of his older chevra from Miami Beach there. He told him my name and this. He told me he remembered my grandfather was involved with Rabbi Herman. Oh, no, or sorry, Rabbi Herman or Rabbi Gelb, one of the two. They're both very involved in Yaakov Yosef Herman or Yachnis's grandfather, Rabbi Gelb, who were very Chaim Gelb, who were very involved in Shmirah Shabbos in New York back in the 20s, 30s,
yeah.
Back in the day. But Lemaisa, yeah, you know, you potentially could utilize these things of boycotting businesses, but that's the thing. Does it only apply this din of kedima to Shomer Shabbos Jews? So if you take the Chassam Sofer and Rabbi Chanan's position, and it could be Rabbi Chanan had an influence on these people, because Rabbi Chanan was in America and was very much involved in the early Torah scene in New York. So it could be Rabbi Chanan's hashpa. Rabbi Chanan holds it only applies, Kedima only applies to Shomer Shabbos Jews. If that's the case, there's no problem running boycotts. Because unfortunately, if a person is not Osa Maisa Amcha, not keeping Shabbos, so then these halachas of Kedima don't apply. However, I found that both the Chazon Ish and Reb Chaim Ozer, it's both in the bottom of your sheets, they both took the position contrary to that. That anybody who was born a Jew, whether you're Shomer Torah Mitzvahs or not, gets this Kedima. Now, I only saw the Chazon Ish quoted. I didn't see the piece inside, and even the piece inside, I'm not sure how, you know, it's really just a quote. What was the Chazon Ish's logic behind this decision? The Chazon Ish is known famously for his major psak on Tinoko Shel Beis Rabba, Tinoko Shel Nishbu. The Chazon Ish holds that many non-religious Jews today have the qualification that they're a Tinoko Shel Nishbu. They didn't grow up with a Jewish education. They didn't know any better. For all that you know, Bernie Sanders, I'm sure he never went to yeshiva. Everyone had, you know, for sure a bar mitzvah.
More bar than mitzvah.
But Lamaisa, you know, these people, it's hard to judge. I would say even more than that, probably can't judge. And therefore, you know, the dinim of Kedima, I'll show pride to them too. You know, I saw modern day posts also debating. You have the choice of doing business from a Shomer Shabbos Jew and a bagel Jew. So, which is there any Kedima to the Shomer Shabbos Jew? There might be. But that doesn't necessarily negate that there is an inyan to do business with any Jew, according to these people. And definitely according to the Chazon Ish, the Chaim Ozer, this issue of boycotting is much more of a challenging issue. So is it, okay, not so simple. Of course you could boycott Ben and Jerry. They're not Oisim HaSamcha. These guys grew up in Vermont, you know, hippies with their Cherry Garcia, you know, ice cream. Like, they never went to yeshiva. They're not talking about a guy who grew up in Lakewood and went off to Derech. Right? Huh? And they don't even own the company anymore. Right? So, what do we say about boycotts? Especially after seeing these halachos, that there's an inyan to do business with a Jewish company, with Jews. We have to be careful about that.
Is there a difference between a boycott and individually for yourself just not buying that brand?
Oh, that's an interesting point, right? I'm talking on the global scale of organizing a boycott, which really that involves, you know, spreading the narrative of, okay, how bad this company is and the need to boycott and encouraging other people to do that. So that's probably like 10 steps beyond. Just you yourself don't feel comfortable. You know, I don't feel comfortable buying, you know, if I personally think, switch to Shetos for a moment. You know, my Rav told me, you know, it's not right to have a Leish Shetel. The Shetel Macher is selling one. So, was brought up. It's much less of a boycott, right? You're not going on social media. You're not telling all your friends not to buy from the Shetel Macher. You just decided, Mikano Abba, I'm not buying from them. Now, that's also a Shaila, because even on an individual level, you have a Chiv. But it's, in a certain sense, less of a Shaila, because if you got it wrong, there's less Gehenna time for it, right? You didn't convince 100 people on your WhatsApp group or put in ads in the newspaper to discourage something and shut people down when, you know, you got it wrong. So the Shaila is a Shaila even on the individual level, to answer your question, but at the same time, it's a much, much bigger Shaila when you're involved in taking part of a process of a boycott. Yes?
If somebody from your
It's a very interesting question he asked. What was asked in the back was, is this something that, you know, a Rav should get involved with? You know, lay shetels. You know, okay, there's noise, you know, in the firm world. But should every Rav go out there and take a position about it? And I actually was discussing this with somebody just last night, specifically this Shiloh. And the response the person said was, oh, you know, this yeshiva, this community, yeah, their general position is not to take positions. And tell you, okay, you could ask a local posek, but we as a community, we as an institution are not gonna, you know, make a psak on it.
It's more like
a local. Yeah, especially, you know, when you get to the areas, right, no one's gonna say Ben and Jerry's ice cream unless they take off the hashgacha, which is one of the debates also. Right? I think people were harassing the Kafke to take off their hashgacha, you know. But to begin with, no one's saying Ben and Jerry's is not kosher. And with the shetels, there are different, but the majority of the people are not saying these are not head coverings and you can't recite a bracha in front of it. People say it is a head covering, but there's debate, it's not the proper one. So you're dealing with things which are more gray. It's not black and white. And therefore, the whatever halachas of informing people of halacha, it's a little trickier. It's more gray. And I hope to answer your question even more in a few moments, within the next 10 minutes, before we finish here. So, on the other side of the equation, first side we're presenting is the halachas of buying Jewish companies, buying from, selling to Jewish people is a mitzvah, chiyuv. Chavetz Chaim brings the halacha, navas chesed. But at the same time, there is a concept in halacha of boycotts. And I'll show you two examples. And boycotts is not new to cancel culture. The earliest source I found dates back to the times of the Mishnayos. If you look, the Mishnah, the last Mishnah in the first parak of Krisis on top of the page. It's talking there about a woman bringing karbanos after Leda, after she becomes Tamei. And the halacha was, she's chayav to bring one big karban, and she has additional chiyuvim to bring other karbanos at a later time. So the Mishnah says, starting from the third line there, so women are bringing so many karbanos that, you know, the people in Yerushalayim figured it out. You know, every time a woman gives birth, she has to bring a bird. So the average price was like, you know, like a dinar for one silver dinar for a bird. Well, you know, they saw there was a Baruch Hashem. There was a lot of Jewish kids being born. There's a population growth. They pumped up the price to a dinar zav, which is 25. So, right? Quite a bit of inflation. About 25 times the price that originally was. So Amar Reb Shimon ben Gamliel comes along, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, and he says, Hama'uvan azeh, it's a lashon shvua. La'ol ha'layla, I'm not going to go to sleep tonight. Dinarim, till they go back to the original price, so just being a simple silver dinar. What did he do? Nichnas the Bezdin v'limid. He went to the Bezdin and he started teaching. Ha'isha sheyishla chamish leidos vados, chamish zivos vados. Woman has five chiyuvim. She gave birth. She became tamei. Mevia carbon echad lachelos bezvachim. She brings one carbon. Ve'ein hashar ola b'chova. And the rest he doesn't have to pay. You guys are pumping up the price. I'll diminish your business five times. Next one. What happened next? V'amdu kinimbo bayom b'rviyosayim. That same day, the price of a bird dropped. Talk about a market crash. From 25 silver dinars to like a quarter. A quarter of a dinar one day.
They all lined up for
Lamaisa, boycotts work. The Mishnah here is telling us that Rav Shimon ben Gamliel saw here that people were price gauging. They were pumping up the price. You know, they saw the firm community was growing so much, they could charge whatever they want. They got involved, took a stance, and the price dropped. What's quite fascinating about this case, and I'll show you one other case, similar idea. What? Now, this year could have many major ramifications for those listening out there. Now, the guy in the back is going to say, not you, Harvey, other guys. Like, what are the rabbis doing about this? Okay, I don't know. Leave us alone. We'll try. Now, there's some things you could fix. How come the housing prices in this neighborhood are off the chart? Yeah, there's some things that are within control, you know, or above control. Some things aren't. And I would say there's probably more things aren't than are. But at least in those times, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel had the power, and he lowered the prices, gufa by saying, atom the halacha, they don't have to bring the other karbanos. The Mefarshim point out there's no such halacha. The women were chayiv five karbanos. How did Rav Shimon ben Gamliel exempt them? There's no other shita. Zakta Mefarshim, this was a harasha, a one-time halachic solution. There's a concept, Eis Lasa Shah Hashem Efiu Torasecha. Bezdin has the power of the purse to control monetary issues, Hefker Bezdin Hefker. Bezdin has a right to control monetary shilos. And Rav Shimon ben Gamliel basically made up such a halacha. There is no such halacha. His threat was hollow, at least halachically. Practically, if they wouldn't budge, he would keep to that. And he has a right to keep to that from Beis Din. But Lemaisa, that shows you how far the Rabbanim went to make a boycott to get them to lower the prices. Yes. Right, not monetary. Excellent point. Right? Yes, there is a difference between this case. Here they're using the power of the purse to help out monetarily the Jewish people. But the Ben and Jerry's, Pashup Shot, it's not a financial thing. Right? If there's no other, maybe let's say Ben and Jerry's would have been the cheapest ice cream company. And now the alternatives are much more expensive. So then it would have been a monetary thing, but it's not. Right, you could get other cheap ice cream, you know, just depends on the week and what's on sale.
As a point of fact, Ben Jerry's is one of the most expensive ice cream
right.
that you can buy.
So. Okay, there you have it.
It's also extra fat in there. Yeah.
That's for another week. So you're right. Here's a riot that the Rabbanan utilized boycotts when it comes to a monetary challenge to the Jewish people. This is not a case of a political issue. True. But the concept of boycotts you do see.
That could have become one, though.
Huh?
That could have been equally political, though. I mean, that would have turned.
Yeah, that could be. You know, everything becomes a fight. And fights turn political. That's true. Right, okay. Okay, you're right. We don't know the political climate, you know, at the time of the Mishnah over here, but we know Rav Shimon ben Gamliel definitely had the guts to make a boycott. Well, let me show you, hold on, one other case. The Mishnah and Sukkah, it's pretty cool, right? You go through the whole Mishnah, no, we don't pass like any of the three Sodom there. How many Hadassim are you supposed to have? So Rav Shmuel takes the position. You're supposed to have Shlosha Hadassim. Excuse me, we do possibly look at Yishmael. But Yishmael says you're supposed to have Shlosha Hadassim, Shtei Ravos, Lulav Echad, V'Esrog Echad. Right? So that's who the halacha obviously is like. Afil Shnaim Ketumim V'Echad Ein Akotum. Your three Hadassim could even be two that are cut off, chipped on the top, one that isn't. Tavron Omer, afilu shloshtem ketumim. You can even have all three cut up. Rabbi Kiva Omer, kishim shaluavech of ezregecha, kach hadas echad varavechas. Kiva has a cool shita, is we unify. Everything is one. One Esrog, one Lulav, one Hadas, one Arava. The Gemara goes through the different shitas. If you look towards the bottom of the page, Amar Yehuda Mashmul, Halach Rabbi Tarfin. So the Gemara paskins like Rabbi Tarfin, that says you could even have them cut on the top. But as the Shmuel Tameh, the Gemara says Shmuel's position is based on another statement. The Amar Lehu Shmuel Lahanu Dimazvi Asa. Shmuel said to those guys selling the Hadasim, Ashu Vizvini, lower your price and sell it. Vilo Dershin Lechul Rabbi Tarfin. And if not, I'll pass him like Rabbi Tarfin, who says you could have all three Hadasim, which are cut off on the top. So the Gemara says, and we just finished the Gemara, by time of Elaim Vishim Demekel, if you pass Rabbi Tarfin because he's in the Mekel, let's just do Rabbi Akiva Demekel Tfei. So go with Rabbi Akiva, he just says you need to have one. So the Gemara says, Tlasik Tumi Shchichi, because it's normal to find three Hadasim with the tops cut off. But to make everyone have one that nothing is cut off, lo shkichi, it's much harder to get. So practically, the best way to threaten them was Rabbi Tarfin Shita, that you'll still have to have three, but you can have all three cut off. And thus, here too, they utilized the boycott to get people to lower their prices. So yeah, every year, you know, in the Jewish world, comes Sukkot, comes Pesach. Sukkot, you complain about the prices of dal mina, and Pesach, you complain about the price of matzah. Get it? But lemaisa, you know, at least this year, whatever's coming at you, if you haven't been paying attention in Biden's America, everything is going up in price. Supply chain issues are across the board everywhere, unfortunately, and the price for so many products has skyrocketed. So if they charge more for matzah this year, there's 10 different reasons why. Less workers,
there was an actual issue with availability of Arabos for
Oh yeah? Oh, taka.
A lack of Arabos.
Right.
And like people sharing Arabos, it was the whole thing.
Okay, I hear.
So, like, and that's not because they're just not available for cloud, they just weren't here.
Yeah.
Like,
Lemaisa, so it comes out, there are two sides. On the one hand, the starting point is you're supposed to give a Jewish people business, but at the same time, there's an issue of boycotting. And I did speak with the Posek about this whole topic, and they definitely felt that it's within the right for something that you believe is wrong, even something not affecting community monetarily, but a political thing, like Ben and Jerry's position in Israel, that people feel the right thing is to boycott. I've heard this from Posek, I've heard this from Rosh Yeshivas, that could be a valid reason to boycott. So too, if you're of the opinion that Leis Sheitels are bad and they don't fit into Rav Moshe's heter or maybe someone else's heter of Sheitels, and you want to, you know, you believe that that's a position to take, so then also there would be means that a boycott would be an overriding issue. Granted, in general, I should give business to Jewish companies and this. I'm not gonna buy from this company. So there, it's not really an issue of buying from one over the other. Mistama, unless you're buying from, I don't know. Most of what I know, these shadow companies are owned by Jews. Someone just told me the other day, some guy who I know who owns a shadow company. Didn't even know. But there, it's probably not much of an issue of buying. It's really buying from one Jew versus another Jew. But still, you know, taking away business potentially would be allowed. But in general, I think a very good, you know, these things are hasharas. And it's not so simple who should be making these judgments. You know, every person you have a vendetta against, you're not going to buy from, you know, that's a little bit of a dangerous hanhaga. Because, you know, who knows, every time we think that this is wrong and that's wrong, I'm not going to buy. Do you have a right? Look, it's your money. And, you know, you could do what you want with your money. But then again, the Torah does have guidelines. In general, you should buy from Jews. So you have to be really careful, you know, if a Rav, if your Rav is coming behind, standing strong behind this opinion that one should boycott this business and not do that, okay, kol kavod. You're pasking based on what your Rav says and doing it. But outside of that, you just, you know, you're going to take all the social justice warrior and you're going to, you know, boycott this business and that business and that business. You know, it's not so simple. I'll end with one story. And, you know, the topic of boycotting German businesses is something which is really emotional to anyone who themselves lived through the Holocaust, or they have parents, grandparents lived through it and have positions on it. So that's, you know, that's, it's a very heated topic. And people feel very uncomfortable buying, you know, certain German products, different things. But I remember hearing from a certain ungadol, they asked, you know, Zerachiv, I shouldn't buy a Mercedes. I shouldn't buy a Braun, you know, challah maker. You know, there are so many, you know, I shouldn't wear Hugo Boss. There are many, Hugo Boss made the uniforms for the Nazis.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of these things. And it's, if there are emotions involved, so then for sure you're going to, you know, if you're connected with it, you're not going to want to buy it. And that's okay. But the shadow of all these things, is it a chiv, is it this? You know, I heard one gadol say, you know what? All the goyim would have done what the Germans did. Kadosh Baruch Hu in this situation brought it through them. So you're not going to buy anything. You won't have any products to buy. Yeah. Lamaisa, that's why these things do get a little bit tricky. Especially, that's why I'm bringing it back. That's by goyim. But by Jews, look, we have enough enemies. Just look at Ben and Jerry's BDS. We have enough enemies. The last thing we should do is be our own enemy. And before anyone takes any position not to buy any Jewish product or Jewish company because X, Y, and Z, they should definitely consult with the Rav. Is that a smart way to do it? Or should they go back to the default that we should always look to do business with Jews as much as we can? Thank you very much, everyone, for listening. Have a wonderful week. And enjoy your ice cream. It's true.